WildTalkRadio.com.
Theme song!
Listen up, Slapnut. This is Jeff Jarrett.
Hey, this is Max Brown, King Robert from the Royals.
This is the undisputed future Seth Rollins.
Hey, this is Kane from WWE.
This is EC3.
Hello, this is WWE Hall of Famer, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
I'm Bristol.
And I'm Aubrey from ATTV Flipper Las Vegas.
Hi, this is Bree.
And this is Nikki, and we're the Bella Twins.
Yes, this is Broken Not Hottie.
The greatest man that ever lived always likes a good rap, and you're listening to the greatest rap.
Satisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
I heard y'all wanted to hear a bedtime story.
I love kickball.
I'm back, taking souls and digging holes.
I'm gonna break you, bitch, you hear me?
With your host.
They've been lying to you. Heroes don't exist. Y'all become addicted to the illusion of what a hero does for you. Have I mentioned that I was once addicted to eating sponges?
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
You can just call me Taker.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And she was a wicked, wicked child who spat and swore and chewed tobacco.
I like puppets.
And her producer, Sir Rocket.
My little creatures of the night will now experience the magical art of puppetry.
This right here means I'm the champ that runs the camp.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
I knew you'd come.
Here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out at youtube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over at Gerwig.net, RockRadioShow.com, or WildTalkRadio.com, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. It is draft night in the NFL, so you know that means that we're going to get cut-ins of the NFL draft as it goes on. Right now, the Dallas Cowboys are on the clock. They're drafting, so it's really fitting
They're on the clock. Look at them.
Well, we're going to have to hurry up and do the blame rents while they're on the clock, because it's fitting. I'm your host, Lindsay Ward. He's the co-host slash handyman slash producer, Sir Rockin. And, well, we're here to talk draft night. We're talking Greatest Royal Rumble tonight. We have a little bit of news. Not a lot.
We're opening up with the Cowboys.
Well, you know, we could have waited until they were
I didn't realize they were next. I would have. But we have a lot to get into. At Rock Radio Show, at Wild Talk Radio, Island's Word on the socials. And you can join us at wildtalkradio.com, rockradioshow.com, gerwick.net to join us, interact with us live. We're opening with the Cowboys. Oh, God, the Cowboys.
Of
all the teams and all the places that we have to open up doing the show with, it's them. Ugh. God, I guess you're right. We should open with it. Let's get into the injury roundup.
Bones breaking, backs cracking, shoulders snapping. It's this week's injury roundup.
Alrighty, so we have Emma
with a shoulder injury recovery this weekend.
Hashtag blame Brent.
Zach Ryder.
What was it? MCL, ACL, and some sort of another ligament strained in his knee. A lot of knee strain ligaments. He'll be out a few weeks.
Hashtag blame Brent.
And last, but certainly not least, our very own Kane Kittens, a.k.a. Brent himself.
A.k.a. the assistant to the assistant NXT analyst, a.k.a. the intern.
Kane Kittens.
With what?
A dislocated shoulder.
Hashtag blame Brent.
We do not have the details on how he did that. We will get them on Saturday.
I mean, he did not give us details. Like, I mean, he should have given us details. I mean, he knew he was going to be a part of the show. He should have given us details. But he didn't give us any details other than just say, yeah, he blamed Brent himself. That's all the details he gave us.
Yeah, but it's only fitting that he blamed Brent himself and the Cowboys are on the clock.
It is. It is. So there's that.
I mean, it's not like the Eagles can be on the clock because the Eagles are the last ones to pick.
And why is that?
Because they won the Super Bowl.
That's right. They did win the... They won the thing.
And the Cowboys didn't.
The Cowboys didn't win it. So that's why the Eagles are picking last and the Cowboys are picking here. Because they didn't win the thing. Just saying.
They are taking their good sweet time, dear Lord.
Let's get into the other news presented by Garrick, doesn't it? What else? What we got?
Oh my goodness. They're letting this come down the wire. And our last news item of the week is that Slammiversary will be on July 22nd.
From Toronto, Canada. Want to know more about Impact Wrestling's Redemption pay-per-view? Go check out the Rack Extra Reviews Impact Wrestling Redemption that I did earlier this week. So check that out at rockradioshow.com.
I picked the main event right!
She did.
But it's the only one I got right, but I got the main event, damn it!
One other piece of news notes from Impact Wrestling. It has been announced that Braxton Sutter is no longer with the company. It appears his contract ran out and he's not re-signing with the company. So
he's not going to bram it?
He's not bramming it. He announced that he is parting ways with Impact Wrestling tonight. So there are your three headlines presented by Gerwick.net. There's not a lot of news because a lot of news is surrounding the Greatest Royal Rumble, which is coming up in our next segment.
Yes, but the pick is in for Dallas.
Alright, let's hit that sounder. It's in.
If you don't care about football, I'm so sorry, but it's draft night.
It's our annual NFL draft show.
It happens that they always do the first round of the NFL draft when we're doing this show. Never fails.
So as we wait, because it's gonna be a minute, SmackDown Throwdown.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to
this week's SmackDown Throwdown.
Yes! 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 Yes!
So, I got a little beef to pick with SmackDown.
Well, before you pick your beef with SmackDown, here comes Goodell.
Okay. What is the pick?
Here comes Goodell with a bunch of people.
To get cheered. So he's trying to get cheered in Dallas. It did not work in the beginning because he brought out, like, Troy Aikman and stuff. He got booed still.
Roger Goodell, the only man that has more heat than Roman Reigns. I swear to God.
Apparently, there's been a trade. The Steelers have traded Martavius Bryant to the Raiders for the 75th overall pick.
Okay.
Well, there's a trade there, so.
Raiders want somebody.
They're just trading for, they wanted him. They wanted Martavius Bryant, the wide receiver, so. So, Steelers gave him up. Let's see.
Make the pick.
Make the pick.
Come on, give us the pick.
I have a beef to get into.
I think we both have the same beef, but, you know.
Leighton Van Der Esch.
Oh, Boise State. All right. That's inside linebacker, right?
She's learning.
I'm learning.
I taught it to her like 20 minutes ago. She's learning.
And I remembered. I'm very thrilled about that. I get the inside and the middle and the outside confused. Jeez. I want to call the outside linebacker the offensive linebacker.
Yeah.
So, I have issues there. Everything else, I'm fine. But yeah, beef to pick. SmackDown. God damn it. We get teased. We were going to get a thing. We were supposed to get a thing. We've waited 2 years for this. Get screwed.
What happened?
So, we get teased that they're going to have Daniel Bryan come out and kick the Miz in the face. And we're all like, yes. Yes. Do this. Do it for free. Don't do it on pay-per-view. We're all very grateful that you're going to do this. Like, even Miz had sort of resigned himself to the fact that he was just going to get kicked in the face. He didn't want to, but he's like, all right, yeah, let's just get this over with.
If you're going to punch me in the face, come out and punch me in the face.
Yeah, just do it. Just, all right, let's get this over with kind of thing. So Miz is out there. He's hosting at Miz TV. He proclaims how he's a new father, which I love that he's still out there putting his daughter over. That's amazing. And, you know, again, Miz just is resigned that Daniel Bryan is going to come out and punch him in the face. So he calls out Bryan to Miz TV. And, well, Bryan doesn't show up. Big Cass does. And I swear to God, and this is not a shot at Cass, but Miz's face was everybody. Like, Miz was like, what are you doing here? Are you lost? Are you confused. What do you want? And that was all of us, because we're like, no, where's Brian? I tuned in specifically to watch the Miz get kicked in the face. Where is Brian?
There was no Daniel Bryan. Big Cass went on and talked about being Daniel Bryan's shadow, because you know the day Daniel Bryan got cleared? Big Cass got cleared, and no one cared. No one knew. It was all about Daniel Bryan. He talked about how Daniel Bryan's an average schmo who should be laying kitchen tile or picking up his trash on Tuesdays instead of coming out and talking trash to each and every one of the fans. He was small back then when was Big Cass, till he got 16 and then became a big guy, became Big Cass. He said that he would put an end to the average schmoes like Daniel Bryan and leave him battered, bruised, and retired where he belongs. He claims that he never had to work in Japan, the Indies, or bingo halls, or anywhere else before coming to WWE because he's tall, he's educated, and he's good looking.
He's two of the three.
You determine which two.
He did have a nice suit. I will give him that. He did have a nice suit. But we still wanted Daniel Bryan to punch Miz in the face.
In the face. So
that would have been a fantastic birthday present. Did I get it? No.
No.
Do I get another shot at it next week?
Yes.
Yes!
So, as Big Cass walks away, we see Asuka and Becky walking backstage, you know, the usual gimmick of them walking to the ring type of deal backstage, and they find Daniel Bryan down with a shoulder, clutching at his shoulder. Here's my issue with this thing. Daniel Bryan's been cleared for 6 weeks. We've done three, yes, three injury angles with him in 6 weeks. The first night, last Tuesday, and at WrestleMania. It's been 6 weeks. Creative, can you think of something different for Daniel Bryan? Can we stop making him look like he's weak, that he can just be beat up any second of the day and is fragile? Because we know he is, but can we stop making it seem like he's fragile?
No.
Because it's getting really frustrating. Because all you want to see is Daniel Bryan wrestle, but they're finding every way to find a way to have him not wrestle.
And I think part of it is protecting him and making it a special occasion when he does wrestle and making it important when he wrestles, and that's fine. But yeah, find another way. Please find another way. Although I was totally on board for Becky Lynch and Asuka avenging Daniel Bryan.
That would be tremendous.
I was like 1,000% on board for that.
That would have been tremendous, but that did not happen.
Asuka would just like take out Big Cass. Like, he would never cross her ever again. Because she would just like straight up smash his face in. Be tremendous. But yeah, it's just, I liked how they did this, but I was disappointed how they did this because, again, we just all really wanted to see Daniel Bryan punch Miz in the face.
I was really excited for it.
It's like, come on, man, just do the thing. And we didn't get the thing. It was very upsetting. But also, it's like, I get what they're trying with Big Cass, and I'm still trying to give it a chance, but is it wrong that I'm already like, eh, to it? Like, I'm just meh?
Because right now, Big Cass is meh. They're trying. We'll see how it goes. But he doesn't have that personality that grips you, that makes you interested in what he has to say.
As a heel, no. As a face, yes. Like, he was good as a face. Because he has that natural, goofy personality. But as serious Big Cass, it's like, oh, I don't, eh.
But here's the thing with him as a face. He didn't say much. Like, he ran off of, you know, Enzo.
That's why it worked, just saying.
Anyway. In a shock of shocks, the Iconics beat Becky Lynch and Asuka.
And they had a good time doing it.
It's a good match. Yeah, the Iconics really enjoyed themselves afterwards. But it's like, you see now why Asuka lost. Because it sets up situations like this. She was not pinned in this match. They pinned Becky, but it now it made for the unexpected to happen.
Yep.
Which is what you want with it. It's like, you're not having her take the pins, but reason.
Reasons. Oh, a center. Frank Ragnow from Arkansas goes to the Lions, and Cincinnati gets ready to go on the clock.
So, there you go.
But yeah, I mean, it gives Asuka more options, is what it does.
Right.
And we said this after WrestleMania, is like, at some point, you have to have her be defeated. You just have to do it. You can't. There was no feasible way they were going to be able to make it believable and have her go on for another year to face Ronda Rousey. That just was not going to be a thing. And I think they realized that. And it's like, it opens more doors for her. It gives her more options. And it gets her out from under the weight of the streak. So, you know, I like this. I'm fine with it. And the fact that she lost, but she did not take the pin, that's okay.
Right, because she really didn't lose. They lost the match, but she didn't. And that was the biggest problem going into WrestleMania. But you know, when Eric Rowan was announced to wrestle a match, we all knew he was going to lose it. But we did not. We did not realize how he would lose. Backstage, the camera zoomed right in on Naomi's boobs as she talked to her husband. Then and they told her not to come out. Well, she came out, and she shook her ass, allowing Jimmy Uso to get the win over Eric Rowan.
So, I'd like to point out the general reactions of the Bludgeon Brothers when this happened. Luke was confused. Luke was legit just standing there like, what are you doing? Mm-hmm. Eric was mildly intrigued.
He's an ass man.
He's an ass man. God love him. But yeah, it's like this. Okay, so it's like this is a clever way to hang a loss on the Bludgeon Brothers is they don't lose cleanly. Eric gets distracted by the Naomi and, you know, he loses the match. But yeah, I just loved how Luke Harper stood there and he's like, what the hell are you doing? But, you know, personally, I feel like they should have, you know, a bludgeon sister in times like these. That would be very useful. And, you know, I hear Nikki Cross is free.
I was going to say, but who? Yeah, Nikki Cross would work.
Nikki Cross would be okay. I would be fine with Nikki Cross and the Bludgeon Brothers. I don't think it's going to happen, but, you know, they need a bludgeon sister. I bet she'd be all in for it.
She would be all in. Other things that happened on the show include Shelton Benjamin being Randy Orton. After the Singh brother interfered, he had a RKO on the Singh brother, then he walked into Pater, allowing Shelton Benjamin to get the win. Jeff Hardy was there watching on, limping around. I am so impressed by Carmella.
Yeah, since they put that title on her, she has come out and she's here to stay, and I love it.
Like, when she won Money in the Bank, she was really hot and killing it on the mic. And then they backed off her for a while.
Mm-hmm. Well,
but they knew that they had something with her. And it's like, they gave her, 9 months? Was it?
Mm-hmm.
To really hone her craft, and hopefully she'll be able to deliver. Damn, she's awesome on the mic.
She's like, fantastic on the mic.
She is the perfect heel.
And then Charlotte coming out and kicking Carmella's ass in the most ladylike way possible was perfect. She just slams her face into the table, throws the table on top of Carmella, turns around, wipes her feet in the ring, lifts up her robe, and walks away, held high, shoulders back, like a lady.
Yeah.
Loved that. Loved everything about that. And it's like when Charlotte came down, she wouldn't look at Carmella, she wouldn't acknowledge her, she's just like, you're a fly in my suit. Get away from me.
Shoo, shoo. Get away.
Get away. But yeah, this was a great segment.
Yeah, it was tremendous. It was perfect. Sets up the match at, Backlash. And then in your main event, it was Rusev Day. Rusev and Aiden English teaming with Shinsuke Nakamura, who has brand new music.
Thoughts God, it's so awesome.
Reasoning is it has lyrics because he was tired of us fans singing.
But a pick is in.
A pick is indeed in.
Billy Price, center, Ohio State. It's really interesting. Not a lot of wide receivers and quarterbacks are going in the first round.
Well, quarterbacks went. There were four of them, but there's been no besides one running back, no offensive playmaker has gone.
No, it's all been either
a lineman or defensive players.
So we see who's bulking up this year.
Mm-hmm. And also shows that there aren't really many talented wide receivers, first round material, at least early first round material, that were ready to come out.
Mm-hmm.
They took on AJ Styles and some good brothers, Carl Anderson and Luke Gallows.
Okay, so we need to talk about Shinsuke Nakamura. We need to talk about his music, because I love this. I love that he got it remade, or they say he got it remade with Japanese lyrics, so people cannot sing along with it. But also, I love how they've remixed it. Like, if you go listen to it, the remix of it is fantastic.
Yeah, because really
they put the rock guitar in it, or they upped the rock guitar and kind of downplayed the violin a little bit, and it's like, oh, that's nice! It's so nice.
It was really good. So this match was good, like you would expect. Team Shinsuke got the win after the knee to the back of the head as Shinsuke got the win. He was ready to take out AJ Styles, but a good brother stepped in and took a bullet for him.
Carl Anderson. Such a good brother.
Took a bullet for his clubmate. Get it? And then he tried to go, like, the watching AJ crawl to his fallen brother at the end was tremendous. It was good. Mm-hmm. It was a great angle to close the show.
It was fantastic. It was wonderful. And we also had the Good Brother reunion backstage,
mm-hmm.
which was so cute.
They were all smiles.
But I adore heel Shinsuke. This is exactly what he needed.
Yes.
This is exactly what needed to happen for him. And I could not be happier with this.
That was SmackDown.
NXT.
It's time for this week's edition of the NXT Rundown.
So I ask you this question. Who is the reason we can't have nice things?
Me.
Beside you.
Pete Dunne?
The answer is Tommaso Ciampa.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, him too. Yeah, yeah. But I'm still waiting for Candace to completely, utterly just beat his ass.
So the main story of this show was it was supposed to be Johnny Gargano wrestling Aleister Black for the NXT Championship. So Johnny Gargano comes to the ring and gets blindsided by Ciampa. And Ciampa has his eye taped up with black tape. It's an awesome visual.
He looks like something out of a movie.
So they battle, and Ciampa almost has him through a table, but Gargano fights it off. And they fight back on the ramp, and then he grabs him and just drives him down through the table on the floor. First he hit him in the balls, and then drove him into the, hit the running knee, and then put him through, did like a Celtic cross type move, through the table. Candace comes out, checks on Gargano. You had a bunch of referees come out, and trainers and everything. So they stretcher him up, like, Johnny's trying to move, and Larray is like, stay, don't move. And they finally get him on a stretcher, and they get him to the ambulance, and as they're doing so, you see Aleister Black walk by, see what happened, and then the ambulance pulls away, camera pans up, and Ciampa is up on top of the production truck, just waving.
He's like, Tommaso, you dick. You fabulous dick.
It was tremendous.
It's awesome. But Aleister was pissed.
Oh, yeah.
He was so pissed.
Oh, yeah. He comes out and he starts to call out Ciampa, but Sanity shows up. And Eric Young is basically, you know, doing Sanity talk, and Aleister Black is like, do you want a shot? And he's like, yeah, let's do it. So they have a match of Eric Young and Aleister Black. Aleister Black got the win. To retain the belt. Good match between the men. And then Aleister Black laid out the rest of Sanity.
He kicked them so hard, they went to the main roster.
It was the swan song for Sanity in NXT. Good way.
Sans
Nikki Cross, who was not out there with them.
But she got her own little promo package, so they're getting ready to split her out on her own and have her do her own thing. So
yeah, there was a promo package where showing a bunch of different women who were trying to stand up to the Shayna Baszler, but we'll get to that in a second. The Tennessee Titans select
Rashawn Evans, inside linebacker for Alabama. Okay, all right.
So they showcased like Aaliyah and a bunch of other women. Vanessa Porn, Candice LeRae, a whole bunch of them. This came after the Shayna Baszler confronted Dakota Kai.
Who's wearing a Progress Wrestling shirt, by the way?
Yeah, she didn't want to talk about what happened last week, and she's being bullied a little bit by Shayna Baszler.
Mm-hmm.
I like it. I like the realness it has.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, as long as they don't go too far with it, I think I'm okay with it. But, you know, it's you have Shayna be the bully, you have her pick on everybody, and then you have somebody stand up to her and just beat her down.
By the way, if you ever turn Dakota Kai heel, she would totally do the emo gimmick.
She would.
Because she has that look.
She does. She was rocking it last night.
Yeah. Just saying.
It looked really good.
Just pointing that one out. Other things that happened on the show, we had the first NXT North American Championship title defense on television. It was Adam Cole versus Oney Lorcan. This was preceded by an Undisputed Era promo where they're talking about being on top of the world. How Roddy, you know, he said it. Roddy talked about why do Roddy versus the world when you got people watching your back, and he joined Undisputed Era before Pete Dunne could turn on him, because we all knew he would.
Oh, yeah. Actually, I'm pretty sure that after they won the Dusty Classic, Pete Dunne would have just gone on his way. Like, wouldn't have bothered with Roderick Strong. He just would have gone home with the trophy. But he would have just gone home, because I don't think Pete Dunne was really that much invested in Roderick Strong anyway.
Yeah.
Or at least he would have gone back to his wrestling husbands. I mean, you know.
Reasons. So, yeah. This match was good. Adam Cole won Undisputed Era, who left ringside, came back and helped them pick up the win. They were putting the boots to Lorcan when Danny Burch ran out to save his buddy.
His partner. He's such a good friend.
Very good friend. And then the one other notable thing that happened on this show was Heavy Machinery taking on Tino Sabatelli and Riddick Moss.
Who are still having problems.
As Tino walked out on Riddick.
Tino needs to get some new trunks, man. He's about to burst out of those old ones. I'm telling you. Do need some new gear going on down there, because we almost had full-on ass. And not that I would complain about that, but there was some butt cheek hanging out. There was some gratuitous butt cheek hanging out on that one.
He's learning from his girlfriend to show a little bit of ass.
Sure.
Because, I mean, dating Mandy Rose.
I know, but, you know, a little bit of ass goes a long way.
This is very true. This is going to sound wrong, but I really like Heavy Machinery, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But I don't see them going far on the main roster just by watching this match. It feels like they've peaked a little bit, and if they ever get up on the main roster, they'll be the Ascension. I hate saying that. I hate saying it, but it's just something about what last night was like, I just see it.
They have to prove that they're more serious, and right now they haven't done that. I feel like if they could be taken in a more serious direction and it work, that would be fine, but I don't think that's going to happen. Because they're very much the good guy comedy gimmick. I could be completely wrong and they could come out and start destroying people, but I don't think that's what's going to happen with them. And I hate to say that because I really do like Heavy Machinery, but I don't know about them as a tag team because I feel like you have way stronger tag teams elsewhere that sort of are going to overshadow them.
Like, I like Otis, but I just feel bad for them. Anyway.
Sony Michelle is still available? Wow. That's interesting.
Well, they haven't taken any offensive weapons. You know.
I know.
All right. So, that was NXT in a nutshell. Fine episode.
It was a fine episode as we wait for New England to pick.
Or, we go to break and we catch you up when we come back.
All right. So, when we come back, we are talking the greatest Royal Rumble. We are going to fill you in on the card. Who we think is going to win. Who we think is going to lose. And we'll tell you all about the 5-hour show. So you're listening to the Rackhack, not the Rackhack show. Good Lord, wrong show. You're listening to the Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. We'll be right back. Buy a gasoline and I do it.
Get chatty with CB Radio. Tweet us at twitter.com/CB Radio Live. And while you're at it, tweet me, twitter.com/Lone Jobber.
Like what you hear? Subscribe to The Rack on Apple Podcasts. Just search for The Rack Radio Show. And while you're there, leave us a review and tell us your thoughts on your favorite show on a Thursday night.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
Suplex City, bitch!
From the big returns...
Maybe I have one more ass-kicking left in me. I thought to myself, maybe I have one badass spear left in me. Then I thought to myself, maybe I have one last devastating jackhammer in me. So, Brock Lesnar, not only does that mean that you're next, but most importantly, it means, Brock Lesnar, you're last!
To the shocking moment.
First off, thank you so much for that. Yeah, what's up, Detroit?
And the moments that leave you speechless.
You know, Chris, if you're going to put something on that list, why don't you start with that terrible scarf of yours? I mean, while I'm looking at you, you can add those rinky-dink tattoos on there, your tacky little haircut, your creepy mustache, and how about those trunks, Sparkle Crotch?
What?
Sparkle Crotch. They're sparkly. Rhinestones all over the place. Sparkle Crotch. Go ahead, get it on the list, write it down. Sparkle Crotch.
I'm going to say this one time. I am not Sparkle Crotch!
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Get chatty with CB Radio. Like us on Facebook. Facebook.com/CB Radio Live.
Hey y'all, you want to get social with The Rack? Follow us on Instagram. Instagram.com/Rack Radio Show.
The evolution of online sports entertainment begins again on Sunday nights when you step into the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio. covering all the latest in the WWE, TNA, and the indie scene. Plus, providing you with the most comprehensive coverage of every WWE and TNA pay-per-view. Join Wrestle Talk Radio every Sunday night, live only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Hi, this is Pete Gass of the Mean Street Posse and author of my new book, Looking at the Light. And you're listening to The Rack on Wild Talk Radio.
Here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out at YouTube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over at WildTalkRadio.com, Gerwick.net, or RackRadioShow.com, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. Hit the sounder, because we have a sounder. The New England Patriots take Isaiah Wynn, Georgia. Guard from Georgia.
There you go.
And he's adorable. So, Tweet of the Week.
Well, I used to be the kind of person spending time on MySpace until the spammers ended up taking over my place, and I was so bitter until I found Twitter. Ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting. No more, no more. It cannot wait, I'm sure.
Before you go, I just want to read one tweet, because it was just tweeted by Stephen Amell. He goes, Tom Brady doesn't need no backup quarterback.
Clearly.
Anyway, go.
That are they going for one in like the third round, because that's where all the rest of them are going to go, I think.
Possibly.
So, Sasha Banks. Bayley hates her fans. Bayley responds, no, just you, girls.
Harsh.
EC3. With the amount of low blows Shinsuke Nakamura is dishing out, he may as well change the name of his finisher to the Pinshasa.
Pinshasa.
Shinsuke replies, tell me in more detail, sir. And Ethan responds, with the PG tweeting guidelines, I don't think I can.
I don't think I can. I don't think I can.
Shinsuke replies, going, please do not give up. I think you can say P something, but actually I accidentally hit his things, which means Kintama, I am feeling very sorry. For those of you that don't know what Kintama is, it is Japanese for testicles. So, there we go. Shinsuke Nakamura, I should be in the Cobra Kai series. Yes, Sensei. And it shows him in his Cobra Kai outfit from New Japan. And Cobra Kai responds, we're looking for new recruits. And Shinsuke's like, how much is the monthly fee? Oh, Shinsuke. Bray Wyatt.
Yeah.
Please, Bo Dallas, Curtis Axel, quit trying to coincide with those obsolete mules. Awoken world awaits you. Let us fix you. Curtis Axel responds, Interesting. I like that enough people tweeted Bray Wyatt about this that he actually did something about it. I love that. But we're all like, for the love of God, Bray, come get your brother. Please come get your brother and his friend. Please. And it's perfect timing. The pick is in. And the Panthers take DJ Moore, wide receiver, Maryland.
Interesting. So,
very interesting.
You still have more?
Nope, that's it.
Corey Graves, my 8-year-old daughter just threatened to delete me at Matt Hardy Brand. Matt Hardy, this cannot happen. You're the only woken voice in the booth. Your delightful daughter must channel her deletion desires towards those two obsolete mules at the announce table. EC3 goes, just train legs so hard my entire family can't walk right. Dixie Carter replies, so that's wrong with what's wrong with me tonight.
No.
Dixie, don't think you understand what
that means.
Anyway, Jim Norton tweets, I hear Stormy Daniels is doing porn again. Say what you want about real Donald Trump, but he gets people back to work.
Oh, dear.
Ben Morse, my daughter just peed on Megan Morse's 13's Becky Lynch t-shirt. Clearly, she wants a last kicker onesie of her own still. Becky Lynch, marking her territory. I like it. And if at Fix Your Life, the good news for Bill Cosby is that prisons are the last places on Earth serving Jell-O.
Ouch. God.
That was Tweet of the Week.
And the Baltimore Ravens are on the clock. They have not picked yet. So let's jump into the Greatest Royal Rumble, which airs tomorrow starting at noon-ish?
Noon Eastern, 11 a.m. with the pre-show.
Oh my God, there's a pre-show to this
thing? I don't think there's any matches on the pre-show. I think it's just...
No, why is there a pre-show to this?
Because they're paying them a lot of money.
I know that, but this thing is 5 hours! Why is there a pre-show and there's going to be a break in the middle?
There's a press service.
Because let's respect the culture. Totally fine with that.
There's going to be an intermission, a 15-minute intermission for a prayer service at some point during the show.
Totally fine.
At least it's not an hour.
Exactly. And just so everybody's aware, if you're watching on the network, you're likely to not even notice because they're going to switch over during the prayer service.
To backstage stuff and whatever.
Yeah. So they'll do something. But why is there a pre-show? There does not need to be a pre-show. Why? Okay. I'm done.
You sure?
So,
you got that out of the way?
Yeah, I got that out of the way. I'm good now. So this is a stacked card from top to bottom. Like we said, this is going to be a five-hour show. Every men's title is going to be on the line, plus a men's Royal Rumble. And if you're still bitter about the women being on this show, calm your tit, okay? Just calm your tit. For cultural and legal reasons, they could not take the women. And if you think that WWE is undermining their values by going to Saudi Arabia, please understand that they're not.
I like how people are sort of like up in arms about it and they're protesting and, oh, I'm canceling my network. I'm so disgusted with WWE for doing this. Does this really affect your life? Does WWE going to Saudi Arabia really hurt you in any way? Does this kill, if this kills your religious beliefs, that's one thing. But taking a stand for just taking a stand's sake, come on, people.
Okay, I'm just going to say this. If you're up in arms about the fact that WWE does not have the women on the show because they're in Saudi Arabia, but you were okay with the gravy bowl matches, the bra and panty matches, the bikini contests, all of that shit, sit down. Just sit down. Okay? That's all I'm going to say on that subject. Because I know a lot of people out there were. So just calm down. Okay, WWE still features the women very prominently on their shows every week. They are still very much behind the women's revolution. Don't think that they're not. This is something where they're going into a market that there is not saturated with wrestling. They still do have to make money.
I read this post online where they were talking about someone who lives in Saudi Arabia is like, things are starting to change here. And we're not upset that WWE can't bring their women. It's like, women are starting to finally getting to drive cars and do different things now. Like, it's slowly progressing. And it's a very, I'll have to find the post and put it out there for people. It's very, you see it from their perspective. And like, once you see it from their perspective, it makes a lot of sense. So stop getting up in arms about it. So
they're trying to be respectful of the culture. And like you said, just because they can't take them this trip doesn't mean that they can't go next trip.
Or the trip after that.
The trip after that.
It's going to happen.
Eventually, they will be allowed to go. It's just for this round, they can't. For, again, religious and cultural reasons, they cannot go. And when you're being essentially brought over by the king of Saudi Arabia to do this crap, you kind of got to do what he wants.
That includes eating a fancy dinner.
that includes eating a really fancy dinner, which there's pictures and videos out there of it. But yeah, so everybody just calm down about the women being on this show or not being on the show. It is really not that big of a deal. It is that big of a deal, but it's really not, because this is completely out of WWE's control. This was not their decision to make. This is probably something they were told that that could not happen. Because believe me, if they could get the women on the show, they would.
They would find a way. But stop. Just stop with the outrage. They can't change culture in a day or in a week.
No. No, but progression is always good.
They went over there. It's a money grab. They're going there to get into a new market. And they're going to get their all their talent over there at some point. This is year one of 10.
Yeah. Of course it's a money grab. Like I said, they're going into a market that is not saturated by wrestling. There's money to be had, and they have to keep the company running. So U.S. is saturated. Pretty much the rest of the world is virtually saturated with wrestling. That area of the world is not. And if the king of if Saudi Arabia is planning to pay them as much as it's been rumored that they've been paid to come over to do this show, you bet your ass they're going to go do it. And the pick is in. Raven selects Hayden Hurst, tight end, South Carolina. Oh, he's a ginger with a man bun, and he's verklempt.
You just went through a wide range of statements there. They're going to help to try to change. Change will happen. And as I mentioned, there's a post on the internet. And I'll find it. I'll post it on Twitter at Wild Talk Radio, and you'll understand it more. That's all. It's okay. Things are going to improve. They got to open doors, and you got to wait for countries to go there. And anyway, that's enough of the political stuff. Let's get into the show.
I'd like how Hayden Hurst's nickname is the Big Red Machine, and also Garnet Thor. I respect both of those nicknames tremendously, but I like Big Red Machine. On board with that. Somebody get Kane with that man. So, getting into the show, where do we want to start? Because there's really no...
Alright, can I eliminate some?
Sure.
Cedric Alexander Kalisto for the Cruiserweight Championship. Who you got?
Cedric.
Okay. So, Jeff Hardy, Jinder Mahal for the U.S. title. Who you got?
Jeff.
Alright, there's two we can eliminate off the bat. Pick one.
Alright. So, let's start with...
The SmackDown tag.
Alright, let's start with the SmackDown tag team titles. Bludgeon Brothers versus the Usos. And, well, Naomi will not play a factor in this match.
No ass distractions here.
So...
By the way, Atlanta's on the clock.
Atlanta's on the clock. Pick somebody good! Come on, guys! Pick someone good, please!
Find Julio's replacement. Anyway, never mind.
He's not leaving! Shut your mouth!
This is very easily the Bludgeon Brothers going to retain their belts.
Yeah, hopefully in dominant fashion.
I think this will be a little bit more competitive than WrestleMania. A good back and forth here would help establish the Bludgeon Brothers having a little bit of a weakness, but still able to dominate. But I see the Bludgeon Brothers coming out and retaining titles. Should mention, because I was doing these, Cedric for the 8-Ball, Jinder for the 8-Ball, and Bludgeons for the 8-Ball.
Yes. Honestly, for a lot of these matches on the show, I would not be surprised if they pull out all the stops in terms of wrestling and really, really do some fantastic stuff on this show. Because, again, they're being paid to. This is bigger than WrestleMania, so the stakes are incredibly high. They have to deliver on this show. So I would expect a really competitive match between the Usos and the Bludgeon Brothers, because they can both go. So, but yeah, Bludgeon Babies keeping the belts. Just saying.
What's next?
While we're talking about families and bludgeons and tag team titles, The Bar, Sheamus and Cesaro, are taking on the Woken Warriors, Bray Wyatt and Matt Hardy, for the vacant Raw Tag Team Championships.
The Deleter of Worlds, I think, is their official tag name. I like Woken Warriors better, but...
Woken Warriors is better. Deleter of Worlds sounds like Bray. Changed his title.
If it said Deleters of Worlds, then, you know, that'd have been fine. Would have made more sense. It's very obvious that Bray and Matt are getting the belts here, because Cesaro and Sheamus are on SmackDown.
Yeah.
Unless there's some weird way of having the Bar win, and then Bray and Matt challenging them at Backlash, and then Bray and Matt winning it at Backlash.
No, just do it here. It's just easier to do it here.
Oh, I know it's easier to do it here, but I'm just saying, if there was a scenario, that could be the scenario where that happens.
Oh, I know. Okay, the pick is in. Oh, Lord. Who did we pick? Be somebody good. Please be somebody good. Calvin Ridley, wide receiver, Alabama. I will take that.
That dude in the crown is so excited.
And Calvin Ridley is very verklempt. I do love how they show the players' reactions and they're just sitting there crying and it's so sweet.
I did say drafting Julio's replacement.
Well, and go. He's even from Alabama, too.
There you go.
There you go.
There you go. By the way, the 8-ball went with the leader of Worlds.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm just saying, it's a convoluted way to do it, but seeing his backlash is, what, 2 weeks after this?
Not even.
It would make sense to do it like this.
They're like 9 days out from it, yeah.
But I still say it's easier to have Matt and Bray win here, and there's some sort of shenanigans, and then that's how you set up the rematch between the bar and Bray and Matt.
Or you just find Bray and Matt a bad opponent on Raw, that's all.
Yeah. I mean, it wouldn't be hard to do, but yeah, just go ahead and crown them as champions and be done with it, but the shenanigans between Bray and Matt continue, and it just hurts my soul.
Yes.
God.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
Moving on.
Yes.
Seth Rollins versus The Miz versus Samoa Joe versus Finn Balor in a ladder match for the IC title. Who wins this match? We do. The fans win this match.
So, with the Jeff Hardy gender match, it's like there's a scenario where gender can win, bring the belt back to Raw, and have either Miz or Joe win the Intercontinental title and take it to SmackDown. That's all possible. They're very high on Jeff, so figuring he keeps his belt, like we just mentioned before. So that bullet takes away Joe and Miz winning. That leaves us to down to Finn and Seth. They just put the belt on Seth. I don't see Finn getting the belt.
I would love to see Finn get it, just because it creates a back and forth between Seth and Finn, where you do something very similar to what they did with Sasha and Charlotte when they both first came up, where it's that back and forth with that title. Maybe not as much, but the back and forth with the title where they're equally matched and they just trade it until eventually they finally settle it once and for all. Like, that could be something that you do with them for the moment. Because clearly they're meant to either team together or feud with each other.
Then again, I just remembered something.
Mm.
The Miz can win this belt and then lose it to Seth Rollins in 9 days. Because Miz is getting his shot at, I assume it's still scheduled for Backlash. I assume he's still getting that shot, right?
I think so, yeah, but
so Miz could get it and then lose it. That is a scenario. That is possible.
But again, that's really convoluted, and it makes Backlash super predictable.
But I think Backlash is super predictable.
Anyway, yes,
anyway,
I know.
I'm just throwing out scenarios. I'm thinking Seth retains in a hard-fought victory.
Probably.
The 8-ball with Samoa Joe.
That.
Who are you going with?
Seth Rollins.
Okay.
As much as I want to see Finn take it, it's probably going to end up being Seth. I don't see a lot of titles changing hands this show.
There'll be a couple.
There are going to be a couple, but I don't see them moving a lot of the titles around simply because they have a pay-per-view in not even 2 weeks that they're going to potentially do title changes there. But yeah, I can totally see them just doing it, keeping the titles on several people for the right now, especially people that they just crowned the champion. There's no need to take the title off of them. So moving on from that, Gong, Daddy Taker versus Rusev in a casket match.
Undertaker, Undertaker.
And in case anybody's curious, there is no mystery on whether Undertaker is there or not. Dude is there.
Eating large.
Eating large. Living large. Being treated like a king and enjoying himself, clearly. Yeah, no brainer. Taker.
Yeah. Sorry, Rusev. Hold on, I gotta go find it. Because we all remember the tweet he posted, that got him supposed heat. The Bury Me Softly tweet.
Yeah.
He tweeted, Saudi Arabia bound to bury the Undertaker. Softly, of course.
Oh, Rusev. I more like that Michelle McCool actually went and watched the video to see if Rusev said bury or like break his old ass or something like that.
Yeah, which he didn't.
Which he didn't say that.
I mean, okay, so Undertaker and John Cena was a thing that went 2 minutes. Undertaker did vintage Undertaker stuff. We're going to get a lot of vintage Undertaker moves here. I expect him to sell a little bit more than he did for John Cena. I expect this match to go no longer than 10 minutes.
No, It won't go longer than that.
But Taker will, there'll be a couple Taker teases of in the casket, and he'll get out of the casket. And they're going to give you the traditional casket match for 10 minutes. Undertaker wins.
Yeah, I think it was with Cena. It was all about the tease. It was all about resurrecting the Undertaker, bringing him back for one more show. And that's what you got. And it was a little disappointing, but it makes up for the fact here that he will be out there doing a casket match. And they are not going to fly him over there for 2 seconds or for 2 minutes. They're not going to do that. They'll fly him over for 10. Because, I mean, the amount of money that they're paying him to do this has to be obscene. So it's not just going to be a 10-minute match with Rusev. I would expect him to show up in the Rumble, too.
I mean, gotta. Because you need 50 people. I mean...
Yeah. So, I mean, every guy there is in the Rumble.
That is not, you know, that is not a champion. Even then, champions will be in, except for the top two titles, I would assume. Then again, it's not for a championship match, so anyone could be in it. Everyone could be in it.
Yeah, I'm saying pretty much everybody that they have brought over, with maybe a handful of exceptions, is going to be in that match. They're going to have to be, because the entire roster has to be in that match. They're going to be NXT people in this.
I don't know about NXT people.
No, there are people that are there that were doing the training camp earlier this week. They're still there.
Okay.
But so I promise you, there's everybody that every able-bodied man they can find and Hornswoggle are going to be in this match.
We'll get to that in a second.
We'll get to that.
That is just incredible, honestly.
Before
we move on, Rusev was the A-ball. Right.
And the pick is in for the Seahawks, and they select Rashad Penny, running back, San Diego State. Here we go. Now all the offensive players are going.
The playmakers are going now. So we have, what, 5 more picks left in this round?
Something like that, yeah.
Will we still be on the air when the Eagles make a pick? Let's find out. Anyway.
Maybe. Possibly.
If they do this really quick. Anyway, what's next?
Up next, let's do John Cena versus Triple H.
The match with absolutely no promotion, no bill, nothing, not a Zippo Zilch. Absolutely nothing.
I don't know who to pick.
I do. John Cena.
LOL, Cena wins.
LOL, Cena wins. Because, you know, okay, this show is about giving you vintage WWE things. So what's more vintage than John Cena kicking out of a pedigree, hitting a couple AAs, and picking up a win? LOL, John Cena wins, right? That is sort of a thing, right?
But you could go even more vintage, Triple H kicking out of a couple AAs and pedigreeing John Cena and winning.
You mean which creates like a movement of some sort?
Yeah, the Triple H movement. You could totally have the Triple H movement. That happens, I totally want Triple H to get up and look at Cena and be like, that was for Nikki!
I mean, yeah.
By the way,
go ahead.
While we're on the subject.
While we're there. And Pittsburgh's on the clock.
I just want to say this to the guy that put out that John Cena still loves Nikki Bella and he's having a hard time with this breakup and, you know, that he's beside himself and all these other things and it's so hard to be in this breakup because he still loves her. Well, John, you know whose fault that is. Just saying. If you loved her, if you really loved her,
you would have put a ring on it.
You would have put the second ring on it. That's all I'm going to say. You would have gone through with it. The fact that, oh yeah, I still love her, I just don't love her enough to marry her, is like the biggest BS thing.
I didn't want to give her my seed.
Right? So, yeah. Just, I saw that out there, and I was just like, this is, yeah. No, I can't buy this. Sorry. I have issues with this, but yeah. I had to get on that subject for a second. So, you know what? I'm going to say Triple H. I feel like they need to maybe put a little humility in Cena.
I mean, yes.
Because the dude still very much has some heat on him and everything from the whole breakup. So they're minimizing him very much for damage control.
And both men just lost their WrestleMania, so both men could use a win. Cena really hasn't won on pay-per-view in a long time, as he's mentioned. I mean, his last real pay-per-view singles win was against Baron Corbin. I mean, you know, Baron Corbin. That's who we last beat on pay-per-view back at SummerSlam. So, I mean, it's a babyface show, so LOL. But then again, it's really not a babyface show. It's just whoever's favorite show. I don't know. I'm going to Cena.
I'll go Hunter.
8-ball, go Cena. What's next?
Up next, we have AJ Styles versus Shinsuke Nakamura for the WWE Championship. I want to see them put the title on Shinsuke here. I want to see it. They do it in Saudi Arabia. That would be tremendous.
I mean, it would be. But what's the counter to it? Why?
What do you mean?
Why wouldn't you put it on them?
Well, because you're going to Backlash. But because then it's like, you have Shinsuke win it here, you go to Backlash, you have AJ and Shinsuke do the rematch. AJ loses and Shinsuke Nakamura is now champion without AJ Styles, or having to worry about him for a minute.
It would make a lot of sense for Shinsuke to win this belt here. He's riding so much momentum, and a loss right now would sort of kill it?
Yeah, just a little bit.
I mean, he's a heel and heels lose, but he's building momentum. And mm-hmm. I know the guys on Sunday talked about how this could end in DQ. It's like, no, I don't... unless it ends with a low blow, but...
The only way I could see them doing that is if it does end in DQ by a low blow, and then they take it to Backlash, and they make the Backlash match no DQ. But I wouldn't do that. I would have Shinsuke win the title outright, and maybe he sneaks it in when the ref isn't looking, and that's what, you know, and that just prompts the rematch even more. Pick is in? Or no, pick is...
Yeah, pick is in.
Who's coming out to...
Ryan Shazier.
I like his jacket.
Should hit the center.
Is he the guy that took the really bad tackle?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, look at him go. So good to see he's walking.
Yeah, good to see he's up and moving.
Terrell Edmonds, safety from Virginia Tech, goes to Pittsburgh.
That's cool. That is cool.
What is cool?
Him coming out to do that. That was cool.
That was nice. Yeah.
That was a nice touch.
I want to see them hug before we continue.
The man hug?
The man hug. Aww.
Yeah, I know it's rumored Nikki broke up with John, but again, it's because if she broke up with him and he broke up with her, doesn't matter. There was a reason why she broke up with him, and it was because he wouldn't give the seat. Anyway.
No, it's not that, well, it's partially that, but it's also he went kind of back on his old ways 2 weeks before the wedding, supposedly. Okay, I'm just going to say this right now. A breakup has been filmed. For Total Bellas. Whether it's the actual breakup or whether it's a stage breakup, we don't know. But it came out today that some type of breakup has been filmed for Total Bellas. So we will talk about the breakup more in detail when Total Bellas airs in a few weeks. Going back to this match, Shinsuke has too much going on for him right now to have him lose the title. And I feel like people are going to feel a little bit cheated if he loses, because you had him lose at WrestleMania. He turns heel. And if you're going to have him turn heel and be this effective, you just go ahead and do it. Just go ahead and pull the trigger on it and then take it to Backlash and have the rematch and have him lose by disqualification there. I don't think anybody would be disappointed.
The underhanded way would be to underhandedly retain the title, not to cost himself the title. That's the difference. Yeah. So I'm going Shinsuke Nakamura, the 8-ball one with AJ Styles. It's Shinsuke's match to win. He needs this belt.
Yeah. And honestly, it's time to take it off AJ. He's had it long enough. Let Shinsuke have it or let somebody else have it. But AJ has carried it. He's carried that brand. He's done an awesome job with it, but dude needs a rest.
And here's the thing. They're not changing the other belt we're about to talk about.
You don't think?
Hell no.
All right. Well, let's talk about it. Brock Lesnar versus Roman Reigns in a cage match for the Universal Championship. Just to do some little housekeeping items, Paul Heyman is in Jeddah right now. He will be there for the show. It was rumored he would not be there, but he has arrived and is in town.
There is no chance in hell you put this belt on Roman Reigns in Saudi Arabia. It is pointless. Matt made a comment, and people have been talking about it for a while. The show's on at 12 p.m. Eastern. 9 a.m. Pacific. This match will be on around 4 o'clock. No one's going to be watching it. So is this really the moment you want to crown Roman Reigns? I don't think so.
I don't think it's no one will be watching it. It's there will be people watching it. It's, again, I don't think this is so much about the pay-per-view crowd as this is the Saudi Arabian crowd. So it's what are they going to want to see? That's who they're going to cater this show to.
Brock.
It's not the worldwide audience. It's going to be the local audience.
Brock. They're going to want to see Brock. They're not going to want to see Roman. They're going to want to see Brock murder somebody. Because that's what Brock do in a cage. Roman Reigns doesn't deserve to win this belt here in Saudi Arabia. He doesn't.
Why?
He lost at WrestleMania. He doesn't deserve this chance to begin with. He's put in this position to be bludgeoned, battered, and bruised. Roman Reigns shouldn't be the guy. There are other guys who should be the guy. Roman's not the guy. This is not an anti-Roman thing. It's just facts. People are connecting with other people. Brock should retain this belt in the cage.
But also you had Roman lose for a reason. At Mania.
Because
which
it wasn't
is to build
that,
to this moment.
Because it wasn't that crowd. Do you think they're going to boo Roman Reigns in Montreal, Canada on Monday night if he wins this belt? Hell yeah.
He's going to get booed wherever he goes. That's the whole point. It's, again, it's the fan reaction to Roman Reigns' boos. Although people do cheer, and that's wonderful when people cheer him because that's what you're supposed to do. But the popular thing to do is boo Roman Reigns. So you're either going to do it or you're not going to do it. Is Brock working backlash?
No, but you don't. Brock is not working backlash. No.
Okay. So here's the thing. Brock experiment has gone on long enough. Brock wants to go back and do UFC. So is Vince going to let Brock take the title to UFC with him?
Brock can't go back to UFC for 6 months, and he hasn't even started that process yet. He has to go through the testing for 6 months before he can get in a cage.
Okay, anyway, hold that thought. Jaguars are selecting. And they take... Wait, how does New England get two picks?
They traded for something for the first pick.
Tavon Bryan, defensive tackle from Florida, going to the Jaguars. Who the hell names their kid Tavon?
We've said that a lot tonight.
Wyoming Wildman. Casper Wyoming. Okay, all right.
You want Brock Lesnar to lose his belt? Let him lose it at Money in the Bank to like anyone. Roman, Braun, whatever. But you haven't rebuilt Roman enough to where, okay, he can get in there and kick Brock's ass. He's done nothing in the 3 weeks to prove that he should be in there. He's been disrespected by Samoa Joe for 2 weeks, and then came out, said 10 words, and left on Monday night. He's not put himself in position to go, look, I am ready for Brock Lesnar. He's not. And from a story standpoint, he's really not. And he's going to get his ass kicked again.
Unless they're telling the redemption story with Roman where he pulls one out in the clutch and he beats Brock and he brings the title
and
home.
And guess what? You know what the stupid thing they'll do?
Hmm.
He'll climb out of the cage.
Roman will or Brock will?
Roman. He'll climb out of the cage, get his belt, because that's what they would do to sit, you know, protect Brock. I want Brock to win, just reasons. 8-ball win with Roman.
The only way I can see this really, like, working is it ends in some kind of shenanigan where Brock retains, but Roman doesn't get pinned. Because then it's the question of what do you do with Roman after that, unless you're going to start to sort of back off Roman, and they're going to start pushing Bobby Lashley.
Or Braun,
which they could reasonably do, is, okay, we've pushed Roman, we've taken him as far as we can take him, we've put him against literally everybody, he's pretty much our main eventer at this point, now it's time to put our attention on somebody else. And they could be doing that, is it's, alright, let's resolve all the loose ends with Roman, and then let's move on. That could be a factor too. But I don't want to pick Brock, because I don't want Brock to have the title anymore. I'm honestly tired of Brock with the title.
But you're really not sold on Roman, are you?
No, but I'll take Roman over Brock.
Okay.
So, Roman.
Brock. 8-ball one with Roman.
Alrighty. And last, but certainly not least, the 50-man Royal Rumble match.
Which includes Daniel Bryan, Braun Strowman, Kurt Angle, Apollo Crews, Titus O'Neil, Elias, Goldust, Mojo, Riley, Thousand, Baron Corbin, Chad Gable, Big E, Kofi Kingston, Xavier Woods, Shelton Benjamin, Sin Cara, Y2J, Chris Jericho, The Glorious Bobby Roode, Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn, Shane O'Mac, Randy Orton, Rey Mysterio, Great Khali, Mark Henry, and a whole list of others who've yet to be named. So a lot of the people who lose in their matches, a lot of people just in these matches will be pulling double duty. There'll be a bunch of cruiserweights. There'll be a few from people that were helped training with the NXT stuff could be in this matchup. There could be someone from Saudi Arabia in this matchup. There is going to be, Sean Daivari, remember him?
Mm-hmm.
He's in this match.
Oh, the brothers are going to be in the match together. And Vikings pick Mike Hughes, cornerback?
Yes.
From UCF.
Hornswoggle is in this matchup. Yes, Hornswoggle is in this matchup. And apparently, Randy Orton is number 22.
Yeah. Thank you, WWE, for putting that out the picture of the set.
It wasn't WWE. It was just some person working. It wasn't a WWE person.
Thank you, random person who put out the picture of the set with Randy Orton's entrance and the number 22 with it. That was helpful. So now we know where Randy Orton is in the show. But since I have no way in hell of getting this right, I'm going to stand for my man, Bray Wyatt.
I want to see Braun Strowman chuck Hornswoggle so far that he finds his way back to the United States without needing a plane.
That would be incredible.
Just chuck him as far, chuck him Spike Dudley style into the comfy seats in the front row.
Oh my god, the seats in the front row. Oh my god. Like, even the cheap seats are nice. Like, they're going all out for this.
The floor seats are pretty awesome.
Mm-hmm.
But you're just going Bray Wyatt? You're not going to go Daniel Bryan?
No.
Not going to go Big Cass?
No.
I don't even know if Big Cass is on the show. Probably is. I think he is.
Yeah, I think he's going.
I'm
standing by my slut, and I'm picking him.
You're standing by your slut and picking him.
Yes.
It's a good choice.
I feel like they need to even him out with Matt a little bit. And you had Matt win the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. And since nothing comes with this.
Except for a trophy.
Except for a trophy.
That does not look like a lady's body part.
You could have Bray and Matt have matching trophies. They could carry their matching trophies to the ring. They could do all these things. And they would go really nice with their brand new tag team titles. It would be a really good way to establish Bray. Or reestablish Bray. Reestablish the new character. Have him out there. Have him really show what he can do. And let him have fun with it. Because goddamn, the bastard needs something.
Wouldn't it be funny if Roman Reigns is number 50 and wins this thing?
It would not surprise me. Could make up for him losing the title.
In terms of a winner, I want it to be Braun Strowman. It's not going to be Braun Strowman. Because big guys never win these things. Let's go Kurt Angle. Because why not? Again, there's no reason. Just Kurt Angle.
It's 50 people. There's no way, unless you randomly get it, there's no way you're going to pick the right person.
Which is why the 8-Ball's not picking this.
Which is why the 8-Ball's not picking this, is because it's like, there's too many people in this match, and you don't know who is in this. You know, but you don't. That's the thing. It's the entire men's roster that is healthy, that is over there right now, that you know is in that match. But then it's all the variables that they're going to bring in, because there are huge rumors going around that to get people to come in to do this, like I said, obscene amounts of money are being dropped. Like, the rumor is they offered 6 figures to Shawn Michaels to come over to do this. And he turned it down because he wanted to go be with his kids, which 100% respect. But it's that kind of stuff where they're bringing in everybody they can think of to do this. Anybody and everybody who is ever a name is probably going to be there for this. Except Shawn Michaels.
Patriots take Sony Michael?
Michelle.
Michelle. Sony Michelle.
From Georgia?
I guess, yeah.
Yeah, he's from Georgia.
They have not officially put that on TV yet, but that's the 31st pick.
Alright, well, Philly is on the clock, I think.
Philly is technically on the clock, even though if TV hasn't announced yet. But Twitter has announced it.
Come on, Philly. Make the pick. Make it fast.
I mean, I don't know how much longer we can do the show. Like, the man says Big Show won the Andre. Yes, Big Show won the Andre, the Giant Memorial Battle Royal, but usually the big men don't win Rumbles. It's usually a medium-sized man.
I would be okay if Braun Strowman would win it. It's a good way to throw Braun Strowman a bone, more or less, and put him potentially next in line for the title, for whoever has it. Is that's a nice way to get him back in the hunt, because you sort of took him out of the hunt for a little while for Mania, for Roman, and now it's you can put him back in it again. And a good way to do that is to win the Battle Royal.
He is sort of their biggest, he's their top face, sort of, at points. I mean, you could have John Cena win it, you could have, you know, you could have someone major win it, but I don't know. That's why I went with Kurt. It's just one of those things.
I feel really bad. That thing is, like, emptying out like crazy.
Well, Dallas made their pick, so who cares?
Pretty much. That's kind of what happened, is, like, Dallas picked and everybody left.
Here's the thing. This is why Philly's better than Dallas. Philly stayed the entire time. Philly was loud the entire time.
Philly was drunk the entire time.
Dallas, they did not provide, they're not, so far, they've not provided a great atmosphere compared to Philly.
Oh, his older brother is a wide receiver for the Calgary Stampeders.
Somewhere. Tim went, hey, they mentioned my league of some sort?
Tim's little Canada dar is twitching because we mentioned, said Canada.
Someone mentioned Canada.
Eh?
Eh? What you talking about? Eh? Yeah. Reasons.
But yeah. I mean, there's a lot of people that could win this. Anybody could win this. Because again, there's a nice little trophy that goes with it, but there's no title match established with it. So you could have Hornswoggle win it. You could have Zack Ryder win it. Oh, wait, he's not there. You could have Curt Hawkins win it. You know, you could have anybody win it because it doesn't really...
Imagine Curt Hawkins' streak ending for winning this thing.
That'd be hilarious.
That would be great.
That would be legit hilarious.
That would be great.
But I mean, it's like, again, everybody that's there is probably going to be in the Rumble. Everybody. Because, number one, it's historic. You know, it's the first Rumble and potentially the only Rumble that they're going to have in Saudi Arabia. So you want to be a part of that. But then to win it, that's just a little feather in your cap. Although they could be real dicks about it and have, like, Cena or Taker or somebody win it. I'd actually laugh if they had Taker win it.
I mean, that would be funny. I mean,
Taker goes, because, I mean, it's like Taker wins it. He goes back home, and we don't see him till Survivor Series. And then he rolls up with this trophy. He's like, hey, remember this?
Remember this thing? Anyway, that's it.
That's it. Philly is on the clock, but they have not made the pick yet. So, well, let's do your plugs and see if they make the pick while we're waiting.
They're trading out. Anyway, thank you, Twitter. This has been another edition of Rack, live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Saturday night. Midnight-ish, it will be CB Radio. We will be doing the Gray and the Great Debate, which is mascots. You know what's been happening tonight? The NFL Draft. People making picks and stuff. Experts in their field making picks. The CB Radio experts make their picks Saturday night, midnight-ish. They're drafting the NFL. Live, CB Radio, Saturday night, midnight-ish.
I may have to listen to that.
CB Radio Live on Facebook, Twitter.com, #BlameRob when a celebrity dies. Sunday night, Wrestle Talk Radio reviews the Rumble, previews the Backlash, and more. Sunday night, 10 p.m. Eastern. Monday night, it's the Raw Post Show at 11:10 p.m. Eastern, live. Okay, check out the Rack Extra Reviews, Timeless, and the Royals now available. The upcoming episodes, the Rack Extra Reviews Timeless Season 2, Episode 7, is this Sunday?
Yes.
The Royals Season 4, Episode 8 is Sunday. They will be available at 11 p.m. Eastern on Sunday. This show, we will not be live next Thursday, but we will have the Greatest Royal Rumble review. We will have our Backlash preview available on Thursday. The show will stream at 10 p.m. We won't be live, but you can hear the show. If you do not like downloading podcasts, you'll be able to hear the show live at 10 p.m. Eastern. At Rack Radio Show on Facebook, Twitter.com, Stitcher, iTunes, Google Play, all that stuff. At Wild Talk Radio, Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network.
You can follow me on Twitter at Linsport, LANSWRD, and go to my website, sideboarddesigns.com. If you like my artwork, if you'd like to view my artwork, it is available for your viewing pleasure at Behance.net/Linsport, same as the Twitters. And don't forget to check out our very fine sponsors, MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211, Gerwick.net, and fightbooth.com.
Come on. Come on.
I'm trying to draw it out because the pick is in for the Ravens, and here comes Goodell. Because, yes, the Eagles traded with the Ravens because apparently they don't want anybody in the first round. Probably for cap. So I'll be honest. It's great. And the Ravens pick. Come on, talk faster. Oh, and Lamar Jackson is your final pick in the first round of the NFL draft. He's a Raven.
I was reading Twitter and someone's already going, is Lamar Jackson elite? And then gets picked.
Right?
Someone was a little quick with that pulled that trigger. So the Ravens knew the Giants were coming. This has been the Rack. Because the Giants were coming next round to probably get Lamar Jackson.
Yup, that's exactly what was going to happen. Everybody was waiting to see if he dropped to the second round, and oh, hey, look! Nope, he goes for the last pick in the first round.
Drama.
Making us all wait for it. So, alright, he's Rock. I'm Lindsay, and this has been The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will be back with the Greatest Royal Rumble review next week. Till then, bye! Ain't no one like me. I'm a legend. Ain't no one like me. I'm a legend, legend. Cause I've been down so long that my crown is gone, is nothing. Ain't no one like me. I'm a legend, legend, legend. King is born.
born.
WildTalkRadio.com.